So good morning to everyone. I thank you again for your wonderful blessings on my new book, with the God's help, that came out yesterday. And Mir Tzashem, I hope that people will, of course, not just bless me, but read it. And when they read it, I'm obviously open to all feedback. Obviously, the book is a direct result of the classes around this very table. Not all the classes, but I would say the big chunk of classes that we gave. And obviously now I'm happy that it went from the oral word to the written form. And Amir Tzashem, I hope people will read it and critique it and do what they need to do with it. I am, of course, open to all feedback, both positive and negative. With that introduction, we have unfortunately arrived at the 3 weeks. And around this time of the year, there's going to be an article in some paper or in some freebie parsha sheet or in some freebie paper asking why are we still commemorating the 3 weeks? After all, we have a state of Israel. We have a Jerusalem in the hands of the Jewish people. We have a Jewish government in Jerusalem. We actually have Jewish security forces watching us right now. So with all these achievements, how come the 3 weeks stay the way they are? Like, nothing ever happened. We're still mourning. Forget about everything I just said. Life goes on. In order to understand it, let's go and see, what exactly do I mean by saying when will the 3 weeks evaporate? When will they stop being 3 weeks of mourning in the middle of a summer here in the northern hemisphere, or in the winter in the southern hemisphere? When will it stop? Now, first of all, you could say, why should it stop? Answer.
There's no better mikdash.
No, why should it stop?
Oh, why should it stop?
Because we have a promise. Zechariah Perek Chet, Pasuk Yotet, top of the source sheet, right side, Komar Hashem Tzvakot. These are the four fast days that commemorate the terrible tragedies around the temple, which are Shivas Abetamos, Tisha B'Av. You skip one, and Tzom Gedalia and Tent of Tevet. Says the Navi Zechariah, I have a prophecy from God that says, Yihyeh levet Yehuda lesasonu lesimcha lemoadim tovim v'haemet v'hashalom mehavu. These days are going to accord into Yontifs. That's the promise we have. So we have a promise that it will. So the question is, have we got there yet or not? And if you look at the left side of the sheet, you'll see that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Simon Tov Kuv Mem Tet, now albeit the Shulchan Aruch of Yav Sakaro, did not live in the state of Israel, didn't live with Jerusalem in our hands, etc. But he did live in Tzfat. He did live in Israel. So already in his time, you have to understand, there was a difference. He was living in Israel. He couldn't say, oh, Israel is totally desolate of Jews. He was living here. But still he writes, Chayavim lihitanot b'tisha b'av v'yitzayin b'tamos b'gimel b'tisher v'asara b'tevet mipenei dvarim harayim she'iru bahem. So, it seems like, even though we've achieved, even at the time of the Shulchan Aruch, we're still not there yet. However, if you look at the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Chet Amud Bet, this is one of the most important Gemaras that we have. The Gemara says as follows, and I'll just paraphrase the Gemara. The Gemara says, why is it that in that pasuk that we just quoted, it says that these tzomot, tzom ha-revi'i, tzom ha-chamishi, tzom ha-shvi'i, v'tzom ha-asiri, will turn into sason v'simcha? After all, the opposite of a tzom is sason v'simcha, with the exception of Yom Kippur, perhaps. We don't have a fast day that's a yontif. And therefore, how can they both be yontifs and fast days at the same time? The Gemara comes to the following conclusion, Amar Rav Papa, Hachi Kamar. Bizmanshi, yesh shalom, yelah sason v'simcha, yesh ma tzom. If there's peace for the Jewish people, it will be a yontif. If there's shma, the Jewish people are being killed, it's going to be a fast day. Ein shmad ve'ein shalom, we're somewhere in between. We're not getting killed, but we don't have peace, whatever peace means. Ratzu mitanin. Ratzu ein mitanin, it's up to the Jewish people to decide. And as you all know, we saw the Shulchan Aruch. We have decided to fast. So the Gemara says, well, that's very nice. That sounds very lovely. So it's up to the Jewish people.
Individually?
One second. As a group. Ihachi, if so, Tisha B'Av Nami. So maybe also Tisha B'Av, Ratzu Mitanin, Ratzu Ein Mitanin. Now, open the brackets. There was a morphing of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, Tzom Gedalia, and Asara B'Tevet. How do they distinct and are different from Tisha B'Av?
The Tzom starts.
First of all, it starts at dawn. Second,
there's leniencies built into it.
Leniencies built into it above and beyond Tisha B'Av, and
there's five items you can't do on Tisha B'Av.
There's five items you can't do on Tisha B'Av, and the five items that you can't do on Tisha B'Av, one are not applicable to those fast days. And the reason that the Ramban gives is exactly this Gemara, that because we're in a situation where we're in between, Ein Shmad ve'Ein Shalom, so the Jewish people decided we're going to accept upon ourselves the fast, albeit minus the no leather shoes and the other inuyim, minus starting from the night, we start in dawn. So the Gemara here asks, based on that, close the brackets, Tisha B'Av Nami. Maybe Tisha B'Av too will start from dawn, we won't have the leather shoes, things, etc. Amar Rav Papa, Shani Tisha B'Av, Ho'il v'huchpelu bo tzarot. Tisha B'Av is different, too many tzarot happened on Tisha B'Av, and therefore it stays the way it is. Now suffice it to say, this is the way it seems like we're in today. Or maybe not. In other words, the Gemara does say, Ein shmad ve'ein shalom ratzu mitanin, ratzu ein mitanin, basically means that, hey, that's what it seems like it is today, because this past Sunday we all fasted. And we're going to fast on Tisha B'Av, unfortunately, unless things change. So here's my question. Did things change that maybe now we can look in this Gemara and we can say it's Bizman Sheyei Shalom? Maybe there is peace for the Jewish people, and therefore let's evaporate all these fast days. Yeah.
Can there be a transitional zone where the people follow halacha because that's what we do as a Masorah, but the spirit is different, so that, you know, that years ago people really were in 3 weeks in a more meaningful mode of mourning of some type, of commemoration. And today we do it, but it's more technical. And eventually, maybe when it changes, it'll be that that's when the flip will occur at some point. But somehow it's not the same as it was in that great winter.
I do hope that that's not the way the Jewish people feel. Because if that's the way the Jewish people feel, excuse me for the expression, that's a rather primitive religion, where we do what it says, but we feel differently. It's like, I put on tefillin, but I don't believe in it. I'll fast, but I know that I don't have to fast. I don't understand that at all. If we're fasting, we have to put our hearts and our souls into the fast day. And if we're not fasting, we have to ask ourselves, why not? We can't have our heart over there and our mind over here. They should be one. And therefore, I don't agree with what you just presented, and I hope that's not the way that people are doing it. They're like, oh, it says in the Shulchan Aruch to fast, that's what I'm going to do. But you should know that it's all baloney. I mean, obviously, that's not the way I believe that halacha works, and that's why we're giving this shir now. In other words, if you feel that the state of Israel and Jerusalem in our hands, with all its problems, but Baruch Hashem, we've achieved a lot, is a factor, then how come we're still fasting and celebrating and commemorating, excuse me, the 3 weeks?
I ask that because there's a certain Napoleon seeing Jews sitting and, yes, what's going on? Why are the Jews crying? And here at the temple,
okay,
Jesus says, oh.
So that's what this shir is about.
So
let's go.
Was it in the early 1800s, he saw all these Jews sitting and crying over it.
Who?
Napoleon.
Yes.
And if that's not a bubble, well, that's a true story. Mm. How many people sit and really cry over it? I don't know. So
I've tried to do my best. I hope you do your best too. I don't think God's going to judge you on not crying. I think God's going to judge you for not trying to cry. So, do we have a paradigm or a precedent in Judaism where there was a good time, it's Man Shiye Shalom, and maybe they didn't fast? What would you say? Shlomo HaMelech was before the temple was destroyed. There was no Tisha B'Av on the calendar. But you're getting close.
Bayit Sheni.
There was a second Beis HaMikdash. Did they fast during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash? So let's go back to that Novi Zechariah, same Novi, going back a chapter, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Bet and Gimel. Vayishrach Beit El Sarat Tzavaregem Umelech V'Anashav L'Chalot Et Pnei Hashem. They asked God a question through the prophet. L'mor L'Kohanim L'Beit Hashem Tzvakot V'El Nevi'im L'mor. This is what you should say. Ha'efkeh B'Chodesh HaChamishi? Shall we cry? There's your cry, Bruce. On the fifth month. What's the fifth month? No. Yeah. Not correct. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. So what's the question? Shall we cry on Tisha B'Av? I'm sitting in the Beis HaMikdash. In the morning I'm bringing a korban, Tamid, Shel, Shachar. In the afternoon I'm going to bring a korban, Tamid, Shel, Ben HaArbayim. The Kohanim are doing their thing. The Levim are singing Shir Shel Yom. The Yisraelim are davening that the Korban should be accepted by God. Shall we just sit on the floor afterwards and cry, "Oh, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash"? We got a Beis HaMikdash. Now, I just want to point out, if it was so simple, he wouldn't ask. We'll get to that. In Meseches Rosh Hashanah, on the left side of the page, you see, Daf Yud Ched Amud Aleph, it's a Mishnah, that says, Al Shisha Chodashim HaShluchin Yotzin. You all remember that the month was sanctified in the Beis HaMikdash. They had to get the word out. With no emails, WhatsApps, and whatnot, they sent out messengers. So where are the months that they go out for? Amongst other months, they go out for Nisan to tell people when Pesach is. And they go out on Av, Mipenei Atani, translate. They go out in Av to tell people, when is Rosh Chodesh Av? So they'll start counting from the day that they Mekadesh the Chodesh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8... 9. What happens on 9? The 9th of Av is a fast day. What's it called?
Tisha.
Tisha. Very good. Everyone woke up this morning. Gentlemen, we see, according to this Mishnah, when they were sanctifying the month in the Lishkat HaGazit in the Sanhedrin, on Har Habayit, with the Korbanos being brought, it seems like, they sent out messengers to say, hey, don't forget to fast on Tisha B'Av. So the Navi Zechariah asks, we seem to have a Mishnah that says that they did. After all, they have to tell people when the fast day is. So what's happening over here? There's a Beis HaMikdash. We all cry for the Beis HaMikdash. There's the Beis HaMikdash standing, and yet the Jewish people are fasting. Can anyone explain how those two jive together? Maybe Bruce was right earlier. Oh, it says to fast, we fast, but our heart and mind is not there. Reality is not there, to be precise. We're happy, but we're still going to sit on the floor and make it as if we're not happy.
I'm being surprised by the Mikdash when it was finally built. It was a much lower...
Oh, now we'll get to this. So why would you even contemplate fasting on the time when there's a Beis HaMikdash? You bring a korban in the morning and the Jewish people are sitting, oh, yeah, yeah, we don't got it. So look in the book of Ezra, Perek Gimel. It talks about the Beis HaMikdash opening up for business. When did the Beis HaMikdash open up for business? No, when does a shul make their business? When are shuls full around the world?
Mondays, Thursdays, the morning.
Halavai. The high holidays! The high holidays! We open up for business! So guess what? They open up the Beis HaMikdash for business on the high holidays. So Rosh Hashanah, they opened up the Beis HaMikdash officially for business. So here it is. They made the Beis HaMikdash. And they thank God, Baruch Hashem, we have a Beis HaMikdash again. It's been 70 years since the Golos, and Baruch Hashem, we came back and we rebuilt the temple. However, says Bruce, Verabim Kohanim, that's your relatives. Va'aleviyim, that's also your relatives. Verashei avot haskenim asher ra'u et habayit harishon b'yisodo. They remember the first Beis HaMikdash, and they're there at the opening of the second Beis HaMikdash. What happens? Bochim b'kol gadol. They were crying, and then the pasuk says, "Ve'ra'im b'turah b'simcha la'arim kol, ve'ein ha'am mekirim kol turat ha'simcha l'kol b'chi ha'am." And the people didn't know there's happiness and there's crying at the same time. What's happening over? Either you're happy or you're sad. How can you be happy and sad at the same time? By the way, in parentheses, I'll tell you, I understand that today. I know many people, myself included. Any day of the year, it's happy and sad at the same time. But close the parentheses. We're at the reunification of the Beis HaMikdash. And people are crying. Why? Says Meseches Yoma, Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Bet. Elu Chamisha Dvarim Shayu Ben Bet Nishrat Rishon LeMikdash Sheni. He said Bruce earlier. Well, the second Beis HaMikdash is there, but it was a far cry from what used to be. Elu and why? First of all, a few Jews. Most of the Jews didn't come. Second of all, there was no Aron, Kaporet, Kruvim, Eish, Shechina, Ruach Hakodesh, and Urim Vetumim. All these things, if I have to summarize it, are that direct relationship with God. You had a question, you have to Urim Vetumim. The fire never went out. A miracle every day. There's a Aron, which has the Luchot, that Moshe brought down from Har Sinai, directly from God. All the direct relationship of God's stuff is not there. Says Rashi, Kula Chada Milta. It's all one thing. Let's summarize it. You don't have to remember the details. Shechina Lo Shar Tabo. God's holy presence wasn't there. The Ruach HaKodesh lo haita ba'nevi'im. And there was no Ruach HaKodesh with the prophets. So, Based on that, that we have a second base on Mikdash, and yet it's a far cry from what used to be. Should they, did they fast, or didn't they? There is a base on Mikdash, albeit minus there is a temple, albeit not what it was. Yeah, Harold.
Question is, if they didn't have, the Nevi'im didn't have Ruach HaKadosh, but they didn't. You said the Nevi'im didn't have Ruach HaKadosh.
So that's what Rashi says. I don't know what it means, because we saw Zechariah asking a question, right, etc., and he got a Nevuah. But ultimately, it's a very hard Rashi. We'll have to devote more time to it some other time.
Just a thought.
Interesting. Well, did they fast, says Rashi? No, they didn't fast. Look at Rashi. Rashi says earlier that with regard to our Gemara, the Kula Yemeta Hanit Ninu Bizmanazeh, Rashi's living in the 11th century. Rashi began his life in what was Rashi's native language?
French.
He lived in France, and he went to Germany to learn by the Gedolei Yisrael. He came back before Germany was decimated by the Crusades, and he opened up yeshivas in France. Now, Rashi's saying, in my time, Kula Yemeta Hanit Ninu Bizmanazeh, why? Shein Bita Mikdash Kayam! Umatnitin in our Mishnah that says that the Shluchim used to go out to tell the people when Tisha B'Av would be, it's talking about Bizman of Azekar, Myri. After all, they were in Kadesh to Chodesh even after there was no Beis HaMikdash Sheni. So therefore, says Rashi, very simply, what does Shalom mean when these fast days will evaporate? The word Shalom. Shalom equals, not peace, but
completeness of the whole.
Ho, 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 ho. According to Rashi. Simple. What is? How does he define shalom? Shalom, no fasting. What is shalom according to Rashi?
No.
We just read the Rashi. Why do you like ad-lib to the Rashi? It's in the Rashi. What are you, one of those people that, I'll tell you what Rashi really meant?
Shein Beis HaMikdash.
Shein Beis HaMikdash. If there's a Beis HaMikdash, they don't fast. So according to him, by training, they didn't fast. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, we fast. Shalom doesn't mean world peace, doesn't mean completeness, doesn't mean any of the beautiful drushas. It means Beis HaMikdash. Rabbeinu Chanan El Amdadaf, same thing. Bizban Shiye Shalom, Klomar, Kol Zman She Beit HaMikdash Kayam, Yilas Hason V'Lesimcha. And if you don't like Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel, another Rishon, the Tashbetz, living towards the end of the Rishonim period, he died in 1444. The Tashbetz says as follows: Ein safek shtekanat neviim barba atzamot tekanak fuaita kol zman sheya beit hamikdash charef. No beis hamikdash, you got to fast. When don't you have to fast? Beis hamikdash. Therefore, he says, gam bebayit sheni. According to the Tashbetz, what do you mean? If they fasted during Bayit Sheni, then when is Sasan V'Simcha going to happen? There's already a Beis HaMikdash. I mean, that's the real McCoy. So you're going to tell me there's a Beis HaMikdash and you're going to fast? It doesn't make sense. Therefore, according to these Rishonim, Rashi, Rabbeinu Chanana, the Tashbetz, and many others, once is a Beis HaMikdash, a building, no fasting. No Beis HaMikdash, fasting. World peace, other things, not a factor.
So it doesn't say anything about sovereignty of Eretz Yisrael.
Doesn't talk about that. Who disagrees? The Rambam. Very famously, the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos. As you know, the Rambam was a prolific writer. He wrote many more books than I did, and obviously he knew much more than I did, and that's an understatement of an understatement of an understatement. The Rambam also was a doctor, and the Rambam wrote his Mishneh Torah, we all know it. The Rambam wrote many books, amongst them Perush HaMishnayos. He actually wrote an interpretation to the Mishnah, rolling before Art Scroll and whatnot. He wrote an interpretation to the Mishnah. And what does it say on our Mishnah where it says that the messengers went out on Av Mipnei HaTa'anit? Comes along the Rambam, looks in the Gemara and says, "Ein shalom ve'ein shmad ratzu mitanin ratzu en mitanin." Says the Rambam, "What is that talking about?" Bayit Sheni. During Bayit Sheni, there is a Beis HaMikdash on the one hand, but it's a far cry from what we were used to on the other. And therefore, says the Rambam, "Lefikach." And indeed, in that Mishnah, it doesn't talk about going out on Tevet to tell them when Asara B'Tevet is. It doesn't say in that Mishnah, go out and Thomas, tell them when Shiva Asara B'Tamos is. They didn't fast in those days. Which was the only fast day left? Tisha B'Av. Ayumi Tanin Tisha B'Av. Afal Pi Shayam Asur Liritzona. Neshuch Pelu Bo'Tzarot. Comes the Gemara and says, Sicha Shiva of Nami. Amarach Popo Shani Tisha B'Av. Oibich Pelu Bo'Tzarot. Comes along the Rambam and says that according to during Bayit Sheni, they were fasting. No less. Now, they didn't fast Asara B'Tevet, Tzom Gedalia, and Shiva Asara B'Tamos because those are what we call minor fast days. There is a Beis HaMikdash. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to eradicate Tisha B'Av because Tisha B'Av, says the Gemara, a lot more tzaros happened. Whatever that means. So, interesting. Many Rishonim say Beis HaMikdash, Shalom equals Beis HaMikdash. There's a Beis HaMikdash, no fasting. Comes along the Rambam and says, wait. That's not enough. Bayit Sheni, meaning there's a Beis HaMikdash, that's why it's called Bayit Sheni, the second Beis HaMikdash, it's not enough. Why? Turn the page.
When would you eradicate Tishbah
then? Oh, okay, let's see. So I just want to make it clear that indeed, this is, in my opinion, consistent with the view of the Rambam and the view of Rashi. Rashi says, once there's a Beis HaMikdash, you don't fast. Why? Because according to Rashi, in Masechet Sukkah, he says, the Kaimelan B'Shavuot, Shein Binyan Beit HaMikdash Tochei Yom Tov, Hani Mili Bana Benu Bidei Adam. We learn that if you want to build a Beis HaMikdash, very nice, but not on Shabbos. We ain't going to work on Saturday. Said, what's his name? Now, who said that song? Forgot his name. Country Yossi. We don't work on Saturday, so even if you're building a Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't bechal, you can't bechal Shabbos. Comes along, Rashi, and says, Hani Mili, Binyan Abonu Bidei Adam. That's if you build it. Aval Mikdash Ha'atit, the future Beis HaMikdash, Sha'anu Mitzapin, that we're waiting for. Again, Rashi is living in the 11th century, so he's saying the third Beis HaMikdash that we're all waiting for. It's going to come down from heaven. Now, according to Rashi, the third Beis HaMikdash is going to come down from heaven. What does that mean? That the third Beis HaMikdash is a clear sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved. Unlike what Rashi said with regard to the second Beis HaMikdash, Shechina Lo Sharta Bo. So according to Rashi, he says it's a dead giveaway. If there's a Beis HaMikdash, it means God is involved because the Beis HaMikdash will come down from heaven. Unlike the Rambam, this one finished one thing with Mr. Weiser, who says, Mitzvot Aseh La'asot Bayit La'Hashem. Who makes the Beis HaMikdash according to the Rambam?
We do.
So ultimately, the Rambam basically says, even if there is a Beis HaMikdash, since we make it, we can build it. Right now, we can make a World War III. We'll throw the Muslims off Har HaBayit. We'll burn, demolish Mizgad Al-Aqsa. We'll build a Beis HaMikdash. Us, you and I. Says the Rambam, that's not good enough. Because it's not a clear sign that God's involved. Since we have to build it, so you can build anything you want. It doesn't mean God's involved. Yes, Mr. Weiser, you had a comment.
I assume those who cried, because the second Beis HaMikdash wasn't like the first Beis HaMikdash, they fasted.
Right.
So they fasted.
Right. Probably.
I assume.
Yeah. That's true. So let's explain the Rambam, because it seems like Rashi makes sense. After all, we Jews, we have a lot of things that happen on Tisha B'Av. Most people don't remember that Chet HaMeraglim happened on Tisha B'Av. Most people don't remember that Trunch and Fofus burnt the Torah on Tisha B'Av. But they remember Beis HaMikdash. As a matter of fact, the Tosfos says, how come, indeed, the Gemara says Tisha B'Av is different? There was more Tzarot on Tisha B'Av than any other fast day. Let me ask you a question. How many things happened on Shiva Asar B'Tamuz? Five. How many things happen on Tisha B'Av, according to the Gemara, Mishnah?
Five.
So says Tosfos, it's equal. Answers to Tosfos, two answers. And I quote, Churbos Beit HaMikdash Tekifa Tova. Well, everything is a terrible crime and a terrible sin, but the burning of the Beit HaMikdash, that's the real McCoy, therefore it's Huchbelubo, not in quantity, but in quality. Churban Beis HaMikdash, that's the worst. Ve'od, lo dami l'tisha b'av, the tzarachat uchpalavo. On Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, five different things happened. On Tisha B'Av, the same terrible tragedy happened twice. Bayit Rishon, and then hundreds of years later, Bayit Sheni. So, according to this, why is it that when you have a Bayit Sheni, even if it's there, you still fast? So, I want to explain it in one of two ways. First of all, a Rashi who seems to like contradict himself, says, what shalom? She'en yada goyim takifal Yisrael. The goyim, namely the non-Jews, are not hurting the Jewish people. Therefore, says the Sfat Emet, v'yitachen perush zeh l'faresh le'el mashmut ha-Rambam. Debabai cheni namar ha-shebatal machut ha-shmonayeh yukfim le... Anyone know what the word means? Le... Einam, I don't know what it means. It means basically Einam Yudim. I don't know how it goes in here. Nikra in Shalom. So according to this, when is Tisha B'Av going to be eradicated? When there's going to be a situation where the Goyim, the non-Jews, are not hurting the Jewish people. In Bayit Sheni, maybe there was a Beis HaMikdash, but as you know, it was only built because Cyprus, Koresh, allowed it. Then there was a little 200 years of Chashmonaim, but ultimately we went back to being under not Jewish sovereignty, but non-Jewish sovereignty. According to this, when will these days no longer be? When there's Jewish sovereignty. So now you make a case, maybe today, based on this Rashi, Sfat Emet, hey, we have Jewish sovereignty, let's eradicate it. That could be. So, if that's the case, both, according to Rashi, you continue fasting, no Beis HaMikdash. According to the Rambam, even when there's a Beis HaMikdash, you fast. But why? Because I don't care if there's a Beis HaMikdash, as long as it's based on Jewish sovereignty. We have Jewish sovereignty. We can do, ultimately, now, we can do and eradicate. And you may say, wait. It doesn't say sovereignty here. It says, She'en yada goyim takifal Yisrael. Can the Jewish people do what they want today? In Israel? Bibi Netanyahu wakes up in the morning, I'll do what I want! Of course not. There's a UN, and there's a President of the United States, and there's the European Union. So you can make a case that, yeah, we're here, but we're not exactly sovereign. We're sovereign minus. Or you could say, hey, with due respect, we're sovereign. Whatever. To make a long story short, that's one perush. I'd like to bring another perush to the opinion of the Rambam. And even if you have a Beis HaMikdash, it's not enough. Yes?
We also bring in that many things happened on the night about throughout Jewish history. World War I, was it things that lend a more oomph to
could be.
Today?
Could be. And that's maybe the following. The Rambam says, Kol atzumot ha'edlu atidim libatel liyemot ha-Mashiach. All these fast days when the Mashiach comes... Gone, all the four fast days. And he quotes our pasuk. And what does he say at the end? See, the Rambam quote a pasuk and say, what? What's vegomer? When you learn Gemara and it quotes a pasuk, what does vegomer mean, literally?
Etc.
Etc. I also thought it was etc. for many years, like Mr. Weiser. Then I said to myself one day, etc. is bechule. What's the gomer? Finish the pasuk on your own. It's not so important for the conversation. Finish it on your own. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe leimor. If it was important to make Moshe leimor, they put it in. So the Rambam's no different. Sometimes he says the gomer, but here he quotes the entire pasuk. And how does he end? Vayemet vashalom ehavu. Peace and love will come together. Comes along the Marsha on our Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and says the following. There won't be a fast day, but he says in Bayit Sheni, according to him, they did fast. And he asks, and he answers as follows, Tok Basefa. What does the Pasuk say? When will we become Yantivs? The Hakrav, Amit Vashalom Rehavu, Ratzalomar. Shelo Yes, Asom Mesimcha, Rak Adzman, Shaimet Vashalom Rehavu. According to this Marsha, when will the fast days eradicate itself? When the peace and love will reign. If peace and love do not make the weekly papers or the daily papers, but there's still wars and terrorism and whatnot, and politicians are talking against other politicians, it's not going to happen.
Is worldwide or just locally?
Locally too. Look at the Marsha, with the Jewish people, there isn't peace. And I said love before. It's peace and
truth.
It was mixed up by the hippies. Gentlemen, peace and truth means the truth of the Torah and peace amongst the Jewish people. When you don't have that, tachzaru latzum, the haynu bebayit sheni bizman ha-chorban. Even during bayit sheni, it was called zman ha-chorban. Bayit sheni, Beis HaMikdash there, you could still wish each other a good chorban. amazing. Who echoed the Maharsha? Rav Soloveitchik's father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And I bring you the source here, and he basically says beautifully that the same thing. And I just quote the end of it. According to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, according to the Rambam's opinion, when will these fast days eradicate? When peace and truth are there. Everyone's going to be learning Torah and saying, this is the way to go. In other words, no assimilation. And there'll be peace amongst the Jewish people. And I just want to say in parentheses, peace doesn't mean we're not going to disagree with each other. We can disagree with each other. There's disagreements in the Gemara. There's been disagreements from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu with Aaron. As you know, in Parshat Shmini, they disagreed with each other. So believe me, there'll be disagreements, but with mutual respect, with love. And on the other hand, there'll be emet, there'll be truth. People will keep the Torah. So up until that time, it's still destruction. According to this, destruction doesn't mean no Beis HaMikdash, like Rashi. What does it mean? It means a totally new reality that has emet v'shalom. So Baruch Hashem we have in Israel, and Baruch Hashem we have a Yerushalayim, and Baruch Hashem security forces that are Jewish are watching us right now, and we've achieved a lot. And we have to thank God for every single step on the ladder. However, we did not yet, according to the Rambam, get to Ha'emet v'Hashalom Ehavu. And you just have to look at the weekend papers, or you can look at the weekly papers, or you can go online and look at the headlines. I do not believe that after you read the headlines today, you'll say, we're living in a time of Emet v'Shalom. So therefore, according to the Rambam, and this is, in my opinion, the way we paskin, we still fast, and we still, unfortunately, keep these 3 weeks because we're not there yet. Now, having said that, according to Rashi, we also fast because we're not there yet. Why? There's no Beis HaMikdash. According to both Rashi and the Rambam, we're not there yet. However, as I said earlier, we have achieved a lot, and therefore I believe that we morphed the minor fast days. After all, we only start from dawn, we don't start from the night before, etc. And in my humble opinion, I can make a case that we even morphed Tisha B'Av a bit. Because Tisha B'Av is not commemorated today as it was, say, 200 years ago. But that's for another time. And God willing, on Tisha B'Av this year, I'll make that point and I'll try to say why, in my opinion, that is. Ultimately, the very fact that it says that you're not allowed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av, and yet you have webcasts and these keynote that bring every source in the book and off the books, in my opinion, is one of the many manifestations of the fact that Tisha B'Av morphed a bit. So to sum up, gentlemen, the fact that we have or don't have a Beis HaMikdash is important to Rashi. We don't have it, we still continue these days. According to the Rambam, it's not Beis HaMikdash based. It's based on Ha'emet V'Hashalom Ehavu. Until we get to that, we still continue these days. Ultimately, that's why we're still in mourning, acknowledging all we have, but 3 weeks a year, we also have to acknowledge what we lack.